Let us pray. Eternal God, as we come into this place this morning, we have worship through singing and through prayer. And now, Father, as we continue to worship, we worship you as we listen. And I am ever mindful that this time of listening should not be squandered. So, Father, take these words of mine and use them as you will, but always for your glory. Amen. You know, you can't have it both ways. How many times have you heard that one? You can't be both rich and poor, hot and cold, married and single, healthy and sick, young and old, Republican and Democrat. There are some things we just have to be willing to accept. In a world where so many pride themselves on living in a perpetual state of gray, where nothing's definitive, where there is no absolute truth. I'm here to tell you, it's a hard reality. We can't always have it both ways. Though we may want it all, at some point, we have to choose. And there are expressions that remind us of just those hard choices we are called to make. Fish or cut bait. If you cut bait, you might lose the big one that was just waiting around the bend. Bail or jump ship. But sometimes if you jump, the swim to shore is a little more than we anticipated. You can't have your cake and eat it too, because if you eat it, it is most definitely gone. So what's it going to be? One or the other, you just got to choose. You can't have it both ways. This is a conundrum faced in our lesson for today. We've heard about two different men of power, but both with similar choices to be made. Black and white choices. To be healed or not to be healed. And with apologies to Shakespeare, that would be the question. There's Naaman. Always in total control. Power was the name of his game, but oddly, though he could control others, he could not control his own health. Because Naaman had leprosy, a disease totally unimpressed by human power and position. So Naaman had to choose sickness or health. Choosing health required humility because it was a healing that neither money nor human power could acquire. Naaman couldn't have it both ways. And Peggy read of us to us the choice that he made because Naaman chose to be healed on God's terms, not his. As he has called to humble himself and obey the Lord's raggedy servant Elisha, a man who was neither impressed by that soldier's title or his money or his gifts. Only God mattered. And what the man of God told Naaman to do seemed both ridiculous and demeaning. Wash 7 times in that dirty, muddy Jordan River. Are you kidding me? Did Elisha have any idea who Naaman was? Well, did Naaman have any idea who God is? Do you want to be healed, Naaman? His belief in a power greater than yourself, worthy of your humble submission? You can't have it both ways, man. He couldn't retain his own power and be healed at the same time. He must submit to God's power and authority, even though it might seem too simplistic, so ridiculous and humiliating to boot. There must be another way. But what if there's not? What if there's not? The centurion in the second reading was a whole different ballgame. This professional warrior was charged with commanding the smallest unit of military men in the Roman army. It was a group that consisted of 100. But that 100 was the group from which the entire army took its shape. Each unit's readiness for battle was contingent on the authority of the centurion. And the centurion, in this particular instance, not only had authority over these 100 men, but he also had the authority over the lives of the people living in that little backwater town of Capernaum, over the very people he stood in the midst of that day. His was the face of the occupying forces of Rome, and he had great reason to be prideful. But this centurion was different. He had a servant at home who was sick, and the centurion was powerless to help him. You know, it is remarkable that the centurion even noticed that the servant was sick, and it is astonishing that he was willing to put his reputation on the line for that one who should have mattered so little. Because you see, back in that era, a servant was no more than a living, breathing tool. And like a dull saw, if a servant was ill, he was just cast out. But the centurion cared about his servant, and he couldn't help him. So he went to Jesus. The centurion could have summoned Jesus to come to him. I mean, after all, he's in charge, right? He could have brought some troops with him and coerced Jesus into coming to help. And such actions were expected, and they would have enabled him to maintain his image and sense of control, but he didn't do it. Instead, he just came. He just came before Christ and humbly expressed his need and called him Lord and submitted to the Lord's authority as he relinquished his own. At some level, the soldier knew that Jesus was much more than a carpenter, much more than a healer or a teacher, much more than just another Jew to be dealing with in Capernaum. And he knew that he had much more than the centurion himself possessed. And he knew he couldn't have it both ways. He couldn't be in power and powerless at the same time. So he sought out the true power. He made a choice. And he simply and unashamedly chose Jesus. Now the healing itself isn't meant to be the focus of this reading. The focus is the relinquishing of personal power in submission to God's greater power. Because you see, when it comes to Jesus, we, like the centurion, must choose. Because things are indeed black and white. The gray is only at the place of choosing. Who has authority in our lives? God? Or us? Having to choose is something that makes the 21st century persona just crawl with anxiety. But the gray is only in the choosing. Healing and restoration are a choice. We cannot be healed halfway. If we go to the doctor with an illness and he prescribes a medicine, we can't start taking it and then decide for ourselves that, okay, we're well, feel better. Those little Z-Pack things, man, I feel better by about the third day, and I know I've still got 4 more days to go. We can't decide for ourselves. We must follow the doctor's orders. But why? I mean, isn't it just a waste of time? I'm better. I guess it depends on who has the authority over our healing. If we take control from the doctor, we never get completely well. And that stuff just keeps festering and oftentimes gets worse. And we develop a resistance to these half-taken medications, and stronger measures are required. Because you see, we can't be both doctor and patient at the same time. We can't have it both ways. And then there are those who will ignore an illness until they're so sick they have no choice but to go to the doctor. I know somebody like that. He will try to cure himself until the cows come home. And then finally one day, when he can barely drag himself out of bed, he will go to the doctor and then is highly indignant that the cure the doctor prescribes is so radical. But he's so sick. Had he gone earlier, it might have been an aspirin. But now, it's a bottle of pills. So what's it going to be? Follow the doctor's orders and be more mindful next time, or go your own way and stay sick and just get sicker still? We must learn to humbly submit to the one who knows best. And the same is true of our faith. You know, we talk about sin all the time with a wink and a nod because we don't really believe it, and we surely don't believe in the consequences. We think that sin is nothing more than a mistake, right? You rob a bank. Oh, I made a mistake. You have an affair. Oh, what a mistake. Really? It is a big deal. And if we ignore the mistakes we make and assume that God will ignore our sin as well, eventually we'll become helpless and seemingly hopeless to do anything to fix what we have gotten ourselves into. Now, sometimes we might decide that action is in order and we'll go to the Christian bookstore and we'll find a couple of Christian self-help books and everything's going to be cool. The operative word here is self-help. With self-help, even Christian self-help, we still retain control. And even in those books, if you get to something that gets a little too close to home, you'll find something else to do because you really don't want it. And we really can't help ourselves. You know, it amazes me how many people will read about the biblical life but never read the Bible. They don't really want to know God's word and be held accountable and learn of His true cure for their sickness. Because you see, if we read it, then we have to choose whether to live into what we have read in the word or not. And we have to admit we can't help ourselves. We need Christ and what He says in His word. That just seems too simple. And besides, it was written so long ago, how can they possibly know anything? Phew. Actually, the simplicity is what makes it so hard for us. We want a system, not a way of life. And God's Word is a living Word, and it is just as true and just as applicable today as when it was first placed on papyrus. We say we believe in Jesus. We say that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is indeed God, that He died for our sins, and we're willing to call Him Savior. We even say we're saved. We say all these things. But so what? To hear the words of God's truth made flesh in Christ is one thing. To seek Christ out and be willing to follow His prescription all the way to the end and eternal healing is an entirely different ball of wax. We can stand at the foot of the cross and marvel at Christ's humility and unconditional love for us all day long. But how often are we willing to kneel in humble submission and unconditional loving obedience to the one who came and died for us so that we might rise empowered and committed to live according to His will? We want it both ways. We want to be saved not for Christ and his glory, but rather just saved from eternal death. The cross becomes fire insurance for us and nothing more. Because we're going to do what we please. Nobody's the boss of me. You call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, but I never knew you. Why? Because, he says, if we really knew him, we would know that he is Lord and God of all, and submission to his authority is the only appropriate response we have. Either the Lord is the Lord or he's not. He's either the Lord 24/7, not just an hour on Sunday, or he's not. We must choose. We cannot have it both ways. Are we looking for a quick fix? A band-aid for our lives to cover over our mistakes and hope that whatever is underneath won't fester and become infected and just kill us? Or are we willing to make truly well by acknowledging our sin sickness and asking for God's forgiveness and healing? Because we can't have it both ways. Submission and healing are never easy. They are so counterintuitive to our culture. Power and pride. That's where it's at. And we don't want to go overboard with this whole Jesus thing. They may call us freaks. We may not get invited to the next cool party. Well, we don't have to be prissy. We just have to be his. Nothing turns me off more than some prissy, pious Christian. Because Christ had fun. But he had holy fun. And he was filled with holy, unconditional love. Listen to the question. Do you want to be well? Are we willing to believe in Christ? Really believe? And let him heal us? Are we willing to be intentional in giving control of our lives to God and giving up those things in our lives which don't give God the glory over to him so that we can be more like him? We know in our hearts, most of us, what we are doing and what gives God the glory and what doesn't. And if we aren't that self-aware, then praise God, we usually have a friend like Naaman's soldier who's bold enough to speak the truth in love. One who's willing to ask, do you want to be well? Now, I don't know about you, but I never seem to lack for those people who are more than happy to tell me all the places in my life that need God's transformation. Sometimes I think I am a full-time job. And sometimes I resist because I don't think it's all that big of a deal. But then I think, how many physical diseases start with a little spot? Something so easily remedied, but fatal if ignored. Am I willing to submit to God the Spirit and be healed and become transformed back into Christ's image or not? How about you? Are we all willing to acknowledge his absolute authority over our lives, or do we want to keep back some of ourselves for ourselves, you know, those little pet sins and vices that we kind of like? Sometimes we just want him to accept our diseases, our sinful selves, and then leave us alone. You know, there's a saying that most of us knows, God loves me just the way I am. But you need to know that is not the whole saying. That's the happy part. The whole saying is, God loves me just the way I am, but he loves me too much to leave me there. Amen. If you have a child who is sick, you seek their healing. You're not content to let them stay sick. Why should we think any less of our Lord? So here's my thought. We say Jesus is Savior. But accepting him as Savior means submitting to him as Lord. He cannot be our Savior if we remain the Lord of our lives. Because we can't have it both ways. In the time that is left in this Lenten season, I have a suggestion. I suggest that we seek to come humbly before Christ and submit to His Lordship once and for all. And it's not a one-time thing. Every day, 24/7, we have to reconfigure our lives. We have to re-accept His Word so that we might truly become His intention. We need to ask Him to search our hearts and show us where we need His healing. Show us what we need to let go of and receive the cure that was ours on the cross. You know, Christ in His merciful love wants us healed. That's why He came. Christ in His compassionate mercy did not come to destroy us. It says in John 3, Christ did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved by His healing and by His power. But the choice is always ours. Just know, we can't have it both ways. So whose way will we choose? Ours or that of the great physician? That's up to each of us. And that is what Lent is all about. And to God be the glory. Amen.